Welcome to our study of the book of Revelation. We go through it verse by verse, and it's going to be a very interesting study to do. This is a recap of the small group study we did last week. So future episodes will be with some interaction of our people, questions that are being asked, and that always makes it more interesting. So the book of Revelation, first of all, is singular, not plural. So it's not revelations with an S at the end. It's just revelations, one revelation. And the word revelation simply means to take off the veil, to take off the cover, to open up so you can see what was always there but hidden. And so now, by reading and studying this book, it's not hidden anymore. So we started verse 1, and it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. So that's what this book is all about. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not the revelation of the Antichrist or all the troubles that are coming. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It says, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. So God gave the revelation to Jesus, and then Jesus, through an angel, gave it to John, and so that we will know what will take place. Verse 2 says, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. So John saw what was coming. He saw the whole future of what will happen and how things will end. And we'll get into the details as we go through the book. Verse 3 says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. So three things. There's a blessing for everyone who reads and hears and keeps. Keeps is to obey, to accept what is being said here. So there's a blessing. So the book of Revelation, there are some terrible, terrible things that we'll read about, but it contains a blessing for us as we read it. Especially it's a blessing for those who have accepted the blood sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for their own sins, so their sins are wiped away. And so reading all of this is a blessing, and it's not something that instills fear in us, but a great blessing. Verse 4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia. So there were many more churches in Asia. There were also a church in Rome. There's a church at Corinth. There's a church in Jerusalem. They were not included in this message. And there's a very specific reason for it, as we will see. So we will get to that when we go into chapter 2. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. So grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. That's eternal. That is Jesus. He is eternal. He was there in the beginning, he is there now, and he will always be there. An interesting little note here about seven spirits. Seven spirits. It says, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. Now, when we go to Isaiah chapter 11, we read something there that will help us to understand this. I'm just finding it in my Bible. Isaiah chapter 11. And let's see where we... verse, well, that is from verse 1. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. Now, Jesse was King David's father, so Jesus is of that tribe. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now look, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, number one. The Spirit of wisdom, number two, and understanding, number three. The Spirit of counsel, four, and might, five. The Spirit of knowledge, number six, and the fear of the Lord, number seven. So those are the seven. We think it's the same seven spirits he's talking about. Obviously, that is what it is. The seven spirits which are before the throne of God. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. Now, this is interesting because Jesus came to the earth to represent God and to introduce him to us as Father. And there was a time, we read about it in the Gospel of John, when Philip came to Jesus and said, show us the Father. Jesus said to him, how long have you known me, Philip? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So Jesus came to show us what the Father was like, all through his words and his actions and his attitudes and his love for people. He came to introduce the Father to us. He's the faithful witness of the Father, the firstborn from the dead. Now, there were people raised from the dead. Lazarus is one. The daughter of Jairus is one. There was the widow of Nain, whose son died, and Jesus raised him from the dead. They all died again. But Jesus is the firstborn who was raised from the dead, never to die again. And the ruler over kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from his sins in his own blood. And he made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, as you go through the book of Revelation, what you will find, what you will see, is the number seven plays a very pivotal role. So we already read about seven churches, we read about seven spirits of God. We just read, I don't know if you noticed, but there are seven attributes of Jesus. He's a faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over kings of the earth. He loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests. So there are seven attributes, seven things that Jesus did for us. Verse 7, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even though you pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. So behold, he's coming with the clouds. That's not talking about the rapture. Because not every eye will see Jesus at the rapture, but they will see him at his second coming. That's also the time, according to the book of Zechariah, that the remnant of the Jews that will flee to the mountains right in the middle of the tribulation period, they will recognize him and mourn for him and accept him as their Messiah. That is what this verse is talking about. Verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. So Jesus talking here to John personally, and he says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. Now, the Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet, and the Omega is the last one. He's the beginning and the end. Who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty, eternal Son of God. Jesus is God, the Son of God, one of the Trinity. They're all eternal. Eternal past, eternal future. Verse 9, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So John was banned to the island of Patmos because of his Christian beliefs. And that is where he received this prophecy to write this book. And it's interesting that he calls himself your brother and companion in the tribulation. He's not talking about the 7-year tribulation. He's talking about the tribulation that Jesus said, if you come after me, you'll have tribulation. You'll be persecuted. Life is going to be difficult. People will turn against you. They will hate you. And they will persecute you. They'll make your life difficult. He says, I'm your brother and companion. I'm with you in all of this. It's interesting that he doesn't introduce himself as the apostle. Now, by this time, when he wrote this, he was the only surviving apostle. The others all died unnatural deaths. They were persecuted, they were killed, they were crucified for the sake of the gospel. He was the only one that died a natural death. And this book was written around AD 96. So he was pretty old by then. Verse 10, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. Now we need to talk about this term, I was in the spirit. So there are moments when we are drawn away in the spirit. Well, you know, we are threefold beings. We live in the flesh, we have a soul, which is our mind, and we are essentially spirit beings because we were created in the image of God, and God is spirit. He doesn't have a body like we have. It's our spirit that was created in his image. And so with our bodies, our material body that we live in, we interact with the material world. With our mind, our soul, we interact with the intellectual world. But with our spirit, we interact with the spiritual world. We have, if you're born again, you have access to the spiritual world. That's something we need to know. You'll have spiritual experiences with the Holy Spirit. And we read about several of them, actually. Now, I want us to go to the book of Acts. I think it's chapter 10. Let's quickly go. Acts chapter 10. So this is when Cornelius, who was a Roman soldier, he was praying. And an angel appeared to him and said to him to send somebody to go bring Peter to them. The address and everything was given. So Peter, of course, is a Jew. And as a Jew, he had no dealings with Gentiles. It was not legal for them to do that, go into their homes and sit down and eat with them. That was not legal at all. So here was a situation is developing here. Because Peter's on the roof of the house where he was lodging, and he fell into what the Bible calls a trance. And I'll read Acts chapter 10 and verse 9. The next day, as they went on the journey and drew near the city, Peter went up to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. That's 12 o'clock. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. So he was drawn away into the spiritual world and saw things you cannot see with your natural eye. Verse 11, and saw heaven opened, and an object like a great sheet around, bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to earth. And in it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And the voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again, a second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. So, interesting experience there for Peter. Now, as he was wondering about what happened there, the people called from downstairs, and those men that Cornelius sent were waiting on him. So this is what we call he was in the spirit. While he was on that rooftop, he fell into a trance. He was in the spirit. He was drawn away into the spiritual world. He became unaware of his natural surroundings. He was drawn away. But also, we can go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. There's an interesting passage there, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's quickly find it. And this concerns Paul, the Apostle Paul. And he's writing here in the third person, but he's talking about himself. He doesn't want to draw attention to himself, so he's talking in the third person as if he's talking about somebody else. Verse 2 says, "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know. God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven." Spiritual experience. He was in the spirit. "And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter." So Paul was caught up into the spiritual, into paradise, the third heaven. And he heard things that he couldn't hear with his natural ears, and naturally. He was drawn away into the spiritual world, and he had that experience that he heard things that cannot be expressed on earth. So go back to Revelation now, and when John says in verse 10, "I was in the spirit on the Lord's day." So he was drawn away on the Lord's day. So there are some differences of opinion concerning the Lord's Day. Some think it was Sunday, which is the Lord's Day, and others believe the Lord's Day is the day that is coming. That would be the 7 years of tribulation. That is God's day of wrath, his day of judgment, and the Bible also calls that the day of the Lord. It's very possible that both are right, that it was Sunday, he was worshiping, he was devoting himself to the Lord, and suddenly he was caught away in the spirit, and he saw things. The veil was taken away, and he saw things that were coming to the earth. Now, we must remember that we live inside of time. God lives outside of time. And so, as far as God is concerned, what we're going to read about in the book of Revelation already happened. It's done. It's done. It's finished. It's all done. And so, when John was in the spirit, he saw as if he was outside of time. And he saw the whole thing as if it was happening right in front of his eyes. Now, somebody used a very good example to help us understand this. When God is outside of time, he sees everything from the beginning to the end. The Bible even says that God knows the end from the beginning, because in his mind, it's all done. when we look at it, we only see what's in front of us. And that is all we can talk about. It's what's in front of us. It's like watching a parade passing by, and you can only see what's in front of you. But if you sat on the housetop, you could see the whole parade, from beginning to end, the whole thing. So it's kind of like this that John saw. So we heard he was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and he heard this loud voice like a trumpet, verse 11, saying, "I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea." Only those seven churches. Now, it's interesting to look at this and wonder why those seven churches were selected to receive a letter. And why other prominent churches were not mentioned, like the church in Jerusalem or the church in Rome and other churches that were also in Asia. Those seven were picked for a very specific purpose. Now, these were real churches. Some of them we read about in the book of Acts and other writings of Paul. They were real churches. They were dealing with very real specific issues as are mentioned in the seven letters. But they were also selected, and we will find the keys right at the end of this chapter, because what they were dealing with at that time is typical of what the churches will deal with through the church history, which is now just about 2,000 years. And they started off well and then drifted into some things and then slipped away from the truth and became heretical and horrible things find their way into the church. It's just describing church history in advance. Now, all those seven churches are also there today. You have the good ones, you have the bad ones. They're all here. They are all here. And as we go through those seven letters, we will recognize them. We will certainly recognize them and say, yeah, that is church history that we are reading here. History written in advance. Verse 12, "Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands," now there's seven again, "one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword." Now we know by the writings of Paul that that is the word of God. "And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength." Just a description of Jesus in his glorified body. Verse 17, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this.'" And see, there we have a key to help us understand the book of Revelation. There are things that John saw, things which you have seen, and the things which are present tense, and the things which will take place after this. So the after this, and chapter 4 opens with that same phrase, it gives us the idea that the after this is after church history, after the seven churches, the seven eras of church history passed. Things will start happening when the church era ends. We live in the church era right now. The church era started on the day of Pentecost, and it will end with the rapture. So there you have the church era, the era of grace, as it's also known. And so Jesus is telling him to write down what he saw, what he was seeing at that time, the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Now, the Greek word for angel is simply messenger. He's talking about the pastor here. The pastor got the letter for every church. And that's very important for us to know, because the pastor is responsible for the condition of the church. He's getting the letter. He's the one responsible. And so pastor must be very, very careful when they speak to their congregations, whether it is from the pulpit or in private. Jesus said, we will be judged by every word that we speak. Very, very important, because every word we speak and how we say it even will impact the people that are listening to us. And so we're very important, very, very responsible assignment that pastors have, that they need to take that responsibility very, very serious. So the seven stars were the seven pastors of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. So there are seven lampstands, these menorahs, they are golden, they are giving light, which is what the church is called to be. We are to be salt and light. We shine as lights in a dark place, in a very dark and broken world. We're the ones that give hope. We're the ones that bring truth, which is light. Ignorance is darkness. That is the church, the seven lampstands. And what's interesting is, and very comforting, is that Jesus had the seven stars in his hand. Very comforting, because being a pastor is a very, very difficult job sometimes. Sometimes very ungrateful pastors receive a lot of resistance from people, especially if they are strong on the truth. They're not always very popular. They're not popular. Most people, or many people, do not like to hear the truth. So they resist and they become angry, and there's a lot of persecution that takes place. The other thing is, Jesus walked in the midst of the seven lampstands. He is with the church. And that is fantastic news. He's with the church. Because remember, churches go also through difficult days and difficult times. It's not easy to be the church in the world, especially today. And it's going to grow worse as we read in the Bible. Things will get more difficult for churches. But Jesus is with the church, and that is the good news. So we will end this episode here. As I said, just a recap of our study of last week. And the next episode, we will record live in our small group meeting. Well, read the book of Revelation. Study it with us. There's a lot to learn. There are some really interesting things in this book. And it also helps us to connect some dots with current events, things that are happening in the world today. God bless you. We'll see you next time.